All right, we'll have it Mother's Day. Let's get our Bibles open to the book of Judges today. Judges chapter number 3. I appreciate the mothers out there. I want to go to chapter 4. I'm not going to read a whole lot. I'm just going to read a verse of scripture here. And let the Lord take off with this thing. That'd be all right. We'll be in Judges chapter number 4. And, I'm actually in the wrong chapter again. I believe it's chapter 5. Chapter 5. Verse 1. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, Judges 5:2. Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praises to the Lord God of Israel. When thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. The clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through the byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel. Until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. Now, I want to preach just for a few minutes on that little thought of Sister Deborah here. In the Bible, she was one of the judges in the land of Israel during the time period of the judges, when people would fall back into various cycles of serving God and doing what was right before the days of the kings. And everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. They were supposed to live for God, and God was supposed to be their king and their Lord. And He gave them the opportunity to serve Him freely and of the heart. And they would serve God good for a while, but then the next generation or so would come, and they would forsake God, and they'd serve Baal and Balaam, Ashtaroth, and the gods that God saved them from. They'd fall away. The Bible says they would forsake the Lord. And then an enemy would come in, whether that was the Philistines or Kadesh or Shiathel, that was mentioned in the previous chapter. Different kingdoms would come and they would subdue the kingdom of Israel for a very long time. And it was during their time of oppression that God would raise up a judge or a leader or somebody that would point the people back to God. And there was many of them. We learned about Samson. How many of you have ever heard Samson? In the Bible, he was one of those people. But even great men can go south with God and go sour and do wrong, as we saw with Samson. But Samson was one of those great men that turned the people back to God. But I want you to know that it wasn't just men. How many of you heard of the story of Gideon and his 300? Well, he was one of those judges that during that 300-something year period of the judges, during those 300-something years, God, every 20 or 30 years, it would seem, would bring a leader up out of the people who would point the nation back to God. And God would save them and deliver them. And then they'd go on and serve God for a length of time until they would fall away again. And I want you to know that it wasn't just men that stepped up and helped out and led the people. We read in our Bibles of a lady by the name of Deborah. Deborah was just an ordinary mother, an ordinary woman. I'm not sure if she had children. I'm not sure about that at this point. But I do know that when God used her life, she turned around towards the end of this thing, and she wrote a song and gave God praise and glory. And she said, God, help me to rise up and to be as a mother to the nation of Israel. And I want to preach today to you mothers out there. I want you to stop and think just for a few things. Well, for a few things, but let's stop and consider today's average, typical mother and all the pressures and all the things she deals with on a day-to-day basis. Now, I'm not just talking about with jobs. You know, it used to be the way I, and of course it wasn't in my case, but even before my parents, well, the mother would stay at home and take care of the things of the house, and dad would get out there, was an honest working man, and he was, they'd go to church, they'd bring their tithes, and they'd get involved in the work and in missions, and a wife would stay home and tend to the house and be a homemaker and be a keeper. The Bible calls that a keeper of the house. And so they worked together as a team. And he would go out and make the money, and she'd come in and spend the money, if you would. And they would share all of their finances together. They were one. And now today, that's a little bit changed. Now most folks have two jobs in one household. And I'm not belittling that. My wife and I, when we were first married, had the same thing, where she worked and I worked. And that's just the way it is. And things get very, very busy really quick. And Sunday becomes a challenge to a lot of people, and God is just treated like a leftover. And I won't say that ain't right, but I understand how things are changing in America with work and with time and with careers. Nowadays, women, they are able to go off and get a career, and they're able to get their education. And now, you know, when I was married, I was married at the age of 19, like some of you older folks were married young as well. And you had children right out of the gate. That was me. I had my first child when I was 21. My wife's a couple of years older than me, and we started having children young, and that's just something God put in our heart we wanted to do. I'm not sure how the second one came about or the third one came about, but the Lord worked that out all in His timing, and we rejoice in our little children and what God's given us as a family. And that's a blessing to me, and I'm glad that I work for the church and work for the people of the Lord, and the Lord's people takes care of me, and my wife's able to take care and be the mother God's called her to be. And so we're able to function and do our parts as well. But now couples are not having children until they're in their 30s. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying that just things have changed statistically with jobs and with time and with finances and the burdens of life. Today's mother is easily able, if she's not careful, to get bogged down. Sometimes she gets flat out beat down. And there's other times, moms, if you'll give me an amen, you just have a breakdown. It gets hard out there, and it gets difficult. Now the world and the flesh and the devil would like to keep mama down. Our nation and our community, our churches and our homes will be and are greatly weakened when mama is down, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. But when mama riseth up like Deborah, praise God, and she purposes in her heart to be like unto Jesus, and to make her life count for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is no doubt in my mind that not only will our homes be made the better, not only will our churches be made the better, not only will our communities and our neighborhoods be made the better, but even the great United States of America will be made better when moms are able to rise up and be the mother God has called them to be. Deborah said, I rose up. And today I want to preach to you, mamas, rise up today. Oh, thou mother, rise up today. I don't know what age you are, what stage you're in life, if you're retired and you're done with all the work, or you're young, or you're in your middle years. Mama, I know you get bogged down out there. I know you sometimes get broke down, and I know the world is trying to beat you down, but your preacher's standing in your corner, and I'm telling you, we need you to stand strong for Jesus. And if everybody quits, you be the one to stand up. Hey, Deborah didn't have to do that, but she did. She didn't have to serve God, but she did. She didn't have to sing for Jesus, but she did. I feel like preaching today. Hallelujah. She didn't have to do these things, but nobody was going to take away from her what God had given her. She said, I rose up as a mother. And right now, in 2020, mama, it's your time to rise up for Jesus. Amen. Three things I want to say out of the way of this story that I can't have the time to read, but I want to encourage you, get your Bibles today and read Deborah's story. Chapter 4 and chapter 5. I feel sorry for the preacher. I should know what chapters. It's either 3, 4, or 5, and it's in that section. Okay? Somebody honk if you're still out there. Number one, I want to give you three things, mothers. Number one, rise up in secret. Deborah, the Bible says, was a prophetess. She was a prophetess in God's church. She wasn't the only prophetess. Miriam, Moses' sister, was also a prophetess. We have a prophet, I think, Sister Anna in the New Testament that beheld the babe Jesus was a prophetess. Now, here's what they were. They were people that were declared the word of the Lord. They were people and ladies that when the word of the Lord was sparse and the revelations that God was giving in the old days before the Bible, God would speak to people and give them revelations of his plan, revelations of his desires, and he would speak to these folks. Often it was men, but mostly it was men. But I'm glad that God can speak to the lady just as well. And he did that with Sister Deborah. And she was faithful to the Lord. There were times, I believe, Mother Stewart, as she served quietly, no one saw. And I want you to know something, Mother. There are times in life where you've got to serve God in private and secret. And here's how you can do that. By making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. When you read the story of Sister Deborah, if you'll read it today in those chapters, 4 and 5, I believe, she calls God Lord, L-O-R-D. And I want you to know, Mother, are you listening today, Mother? You've got all kind of things and pressures trying to be the Lord of your life. You've got all kind of responsibilities and duties and tasks that are demanding lordship over your life. But Deborah said there's only one Lord, and there's only one faith, and there's only one baptism, and that's God in heaven is the Lord. She didn't get up on the platform and make a big scene, but I believe she did that in the secret place. And if you're going to rise up for the Lord, mothers, if today is going to be a good day of revival for you, of repurposing for you, a day to rise up and be what God has called you to be, you've got to rise up in the secret place with God by making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today. Another way is by starting off your day in prayer. Every day you should start off in prayer, mother. Don't cook anything until you pray. Well, don't get me in trouble, husbands. But mothers, get up just a little bit earlier than everybody else and pray. Pray for your heart. Pray for your family. And pray for your children as they get ready for school. Mother, if you're not going to pray, then who will pray? Rise up, thou mother in Israel, and be in the secret prayer warrior that your family needs by starting your day off in prayer. By taking care of the inner woman. Ministering to yourself. You can serve at everybody else's table. Put some food in for you. Feed yourself the Word of God, mothers. Feed yourself a steady stream of the precious Bible. The garden that grows the best is the one that doesn't get drenched every 3 weeks with water, but it's the one that has a steady soak. Mothers, you and I need to stay in the book, and we need to feed the inner man on a daily basis the precious Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There's a lot of things we should be dieting from, but the Bible is not one of them. Amen. We need to be memorizing scriptures. Mothers, get you a little nugget of scripture and memorize it. Get you a little promise of the Bible and memorize it. Get you a little hopeful verse of scripture. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians chapter 4. And you quote that every time you face a battle. And God will speak to you and strengthen you because you have done what the Bible says. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Thank you, Lord, that I might not sin against thee. Mother, you got to take some scriptures and some promises and memorize them and make them precious to your heart by holding to the promises of God. Now, this is all stuff you do in the secret place. By instilling in your children Christian virtues and Christian values. Mother, who's going to teach your child how to turn the other cheek? Who is going to teach your child how to compete, but to compete with a sportsmanlike character like Jesus Christ? Hey, these kids out here, buddy, I tell you what, I whipped Isaac's butt out here on basketball and Aaron Wolfer's butt out here in basketball. Amen. And I got a good exercise, but sometimes we get upset because we lose. And that's all fine and well, but who's going to teach your kids how to lose as a Christian? How to take the second place, how to be humble, and how to win like Jesus, amen, and not take pride and arrogance in what you do. I tell you, even in sports. We have to teach our kids these things. The Bible says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And mother, at that young age of 1 and 2, you've got to teach those kids them Christian virtues and them Christian values. If you're not going to teach it to them, then don't come crying to the preacher when they turn away from God. They're not my responsibility. They're your responsibility. And you need to rise up in the secret place with God. Nobody sees what goes on in my house but my wife. She works hard with them kids. And sometimes I got to come in and help out. But I tell you, she does a tremendous work. She teaches them kids, and you mamas, you teach them kids. Now, I'm not bashing public school at all. Most of y'all probably had kids. I went to public school. But the public school is not the secret place. That's why it's public school. You are the secret place. Your home is the secret place. That's where you teach the little children, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. How many of you mothers taught your little children? My mother taught me this when I'd go to bed. She'd say this little prayer to me. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. The angels watch me through the night and keep me in their blessed sight. Are you teaching your children? Mother, they ought to hear you pray for them. They ought to hear you pray for them. You ought to get your kids together and say, let's pray. And you lead them in prayer. Yes. Amen. That's right. And if you are not going to do it, then who will do it? Brothers, it starts in the secret place. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. Now, you listen well and good to the preacher. Don't get pointed here. And listen carefully. If you don't rise up for Jesus in the secret place, you're not going to be able to do anything else. It always starts in the heart. Let God have your heart is what I'm saying. All of it. Be thorough with God. And God will bless you for it. Amen? Rise up in the secret place. And I believe Deborah did that. I believe before she ever took on the position as a judge, I believe she rose up in secret to live for the Lord and honor the Lord and raise up her family for God, even when she was being oppressed and beat down and bogged down. And I cannot help but to think there were times when she even broke down. But God is with those that are of a broken and a contrite spirit. Praise the Lord. And all this world may attack you, mother, and the flesh may beat you down, and even your own kids seem to not love you the way that they should. I want you to know that God in heaven looks down up from the glory, and He sees what you're going through. He wants you to love Him and serve Him in the secret place. Susanna Wesley, the mother of all them kids, John and Charles Wesley being the most famous of them. We sing some of the old hymns of the faith in our hymnals, and Charles Wesley is the author of it. We sing them songs today. And I shared this through the Facebook post that I made throughout the week. Susanna Wesley had an interesting, responsibility, I guess, set of circumstances. She had about 8 kids, I think it was, and I believe she was single. Her husband was a minister, that's correct. Her husband was a minister, but she was very much left alone to raise the children. She would take them to church, her husband would go off, and he would take extended periods in the old 1817, 1600s. They'd take extended times off to write a book or something like that, and she got to where she was doing all the work. And probably a little shame should be placed on that man. I got to be careful I wasn't there. But I will say she did all the hard work. And she took them kids to church. And I'm sure there were times where they didn't have cars. And they didn't have vans and buses and SUVs, sport utility vehicles. They didn't have Yukons and Suburbans. They had feet. And she had to get them ready. And back then, man, they got ready. They got dressed to go to church. And she got them all ready and took them to church. And she was disappointed. The preaching was so boring and dead and dry. And she got on there to where she'd come home after church and she'd get the Bible out and teach the children the Bible. John Wesley being one of her sons. And John Wesley would listen to her mother teach her on the disciplines of the Christian life at a very early age. They memorized and said the Lord's Prayer out loud together. That's admirable. That's awesome. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, she instilled that in all of her children. There wasn't ever a moment where they were able to run and act wild. They had a strict order, a method in which they were to conduct each and every day. Now then it became so popular, the neighbors began to come over to her Bible studies on Sundays. And then she had over 300 people coming in, and she had to go out to a separate building because she rose up in the secret place, and God touched her and used her life. And then out of that was born the great John Wesley, who influenced the Methodist movement that you have today. We wouldn't even see the word Methodist Church if it wasn't for John Wesley. And he preached a great revivalistic preaching, and he taught about the ways to love God and live for God. He was an old-time fire-breathing fundamental preacher. And we read his sermons today, and his brother Charles Wesley has written all them wonderful songs in the hymn books. And I want you to know that would have never happened if the mother was not risen up in the secret place. Little did she know that her son would shake the globe. John Wesley. Look up the significance of John Wesley, and you'll see there was a mother named Susanna. How about Mary Ball Washington, our great founding father, the great patriarch of the presidents, George Washington. His mother was a usual set of circumstances as well. Widowed at an early age, raising young kids, working that big farm. She got her kids to work on the farm, and she instilled in George Washington the Bible. And he was one of the first, he's the first president, and he makes it clear that there is a providence, there is a provider, there is a God and creator above us all, and that we are all created with all inalienable rights that come from God. Those founding fathers had mothers that rose up in the secret places. Nancy Hanks Lincoln. How many of you have heard about Abraham Lincoln? Oh, yeah. This is Abraham Lincoln County over here. You know it. You got Abe 93.7. Our church is on Lincoln Farm Road. We got the Lincoln Parkway. And we got Abraham Lincoln Elementary School. We got the Abraham Lincoln Museum in the park. But what about big old Abraham Honest Abe? He had a mother. And her mother, his mother, her name was Nancy. And Nancy said that I'd rather Abe learn how to read the Bible than work the plow. During that time, having large quantities of land was the big thing. Being a landowner and having all that acreage was a wonderful accomplishment. But she was so firm in her faith, Brother Stephen, that she wanted to make sure that if it was Abraham Lincoln a big land-owning opportunity, she would rather him pass that up and learn how to read the Bible. And he attributes all of his success to his mother, Nancy. Elizabeth Newton, and I'll stop with this illustration and move on to the next big point I got here. I got some more preaching I want to do. How about this lady right here, Elizabeth Newton? Do you know Barack Obama sang Amazing Grace? I watched a video of that today. Probably the best thing I've ever seen him do was sing Amazing Grace. It actually blessed my heart. It blessed my heart. Now, y'all know what political stance that I am. I'm conservative. But I enjoyed seeing a president singing Amazing Grace, an African American. Now, did you know that Amazing Grace was written by John Newton? And he was a slave trade worker on the ships. He was a wicked and ungodly and unrighteous man, working as a sailor, shipping in the slaves. And he was subjected to all kind of vileness and wickedness and alcoholism. His mother didn't hear from him in years. And his mother, Elizabeth, in the secret place, began to pray for her boy, John. And she began to weep for God to get a hold of his estranged heart and for that prodigal to get saved and get right with God. And I want you to know that those prayers were heard up in heaven. And God Almighty intervened in that boy's life. And he got saved. And God transformed him and put the love of God in his soul. And he we sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." Wonder what John Newton, wonder what would happen if his mother didn't rise up in the secret place. Mother, the greatest thing that you could do in this life is to pray for your children. The greatest thing is to pray for your children. Look at these great women of faith as role models. Amen. I'll tell you what, you ought to not look at Kim Kardashian as your role model. You ought not look for Madonna as your role model. Hey, man, I'm getting to preaching right now. You need to look to Jesus as your role model. I don't care what the Smiths are doing. I don't care what the Joneses are doing. You need to live for God today and rise up, Deborah, and rise up, Deborah, and be the mother God called you to be. Amen, that's getting good now. We woke up the neighbors on that one. Hallelujah. Number two, not only did Deborah rise up in secret, but she rose up in service. Deborah was fine to serve her God in secret, but the church needed her, the people. Her country needed her. The warriors needed her. Isn't it funny when you hear about soldiers die, the last thing that they say is, "I want my mama." Wonder why that is, Brother Stewart. Even the toughest, oh, the strongest and the mightiest of the men have a special tender heart for mama. Father, think about that. Even though your kids today don't even admit it, God has ordained that you have a special place in this life. The empty streets needed Deborah. Talking about serving God and rising up and serving God today, Mother. The empty streets, we read about the streets were empty because of the oppression that the children of Israel were under. A foreign power had come in, pushed them all into their holes, and the streets were empty. They needed a mother. Hey, the scab knee needed a mother. The hungry bellies needs a mother. The runny noses and the burning fevers, they need a mother. There is a service that mothers can do that only mothers really. When kids get hurt, they say, "I want mama." But here I am, I'll help you. Let's rub a little dirt in it. You'll be okay. No, they'll fight and claw and scratch and curse you in the name of God the Father and God the Son and Holy Spirit. I want mama. Give me to mama. And I want you to know, Mother, that you have a service to God that He has ordained from heaven. Yes, you ought to serve God in the secret place. But you need to serve God in the service of the church. You need to get involved and help out where you can. She was a judge. She stood up as a leader in the whole nation, in the whole church, as a leader and a helper. There are things that we could not have accomplished without the help of the ladies of the church. And I want you to know, I want you to listen carefully. You've got to have a decision time today. Mothers, it's great that you serve God in secret. It's time for you to take the next step and get in more service to God. Amen. Rise up in secret, yes, but rise up in service as well. And I'll close with the third point. Sister Angie, if you'll come and play something, that'd be a blessing. Rise up in song. She experienced God help her and help her country when they were beat down and bogged down and broke down. She found that there was a God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the one that had not forsaken her in these many years. She had served Him in secret. Now God worked a great miracle. Well, there's a big battle that had to take place. And you read about a fellow by the name of Barak. And Barak was a man that she told Barak, "God has given this enemy, Sisera, into your hands. You go to Mount such and such, and you go fight against him, and God will bless it." The enemy has 900 chariots, which in that day was like tanks. He's got 900 chariots. And Barak said, "I am not going unless you go with us. Unless you, Deborah, go with us and be there, I'm not going." She said, "I'll go, but I want you to know that God is not going to give this victory into the hand of a man. She said he's going to give the victory into the hand of the woman. And the victory is going to be God's glory, and it won't be anybody's glory but God's. And I want you to know that the Lord defeated that enemy, and the king Sisera, he ducked his tail and he hid, and he went into a little tent that was close by the name of a lady by the name of Jael. And some of y'all heard this story, but Jael was a lady who was a children of Israelite. He said, "I'm thirsty, give me some water. I'm thirsty, I'm going to die of thirst." And she gave him some milk, and that milk made him sleepy. And the Bible says that he bowed down and he fell asleep in her tent while he was trying to run away from Deborah, Barak, and the Israelites that were pursuing him. Well, he got tired and he fell asleep. Jael took a nail and a hammer, and she smote it through his temple and fastened it to the ground and cut his head off. And they won the victory by the hand of a woman. And the God got all the glory out of that. And the people were relieved, and all of their sufferings were over, and all of their pain was over. And Deborah, she didn't just stop there, brother. She didn't say, "Hey, I want y'all to give me all the credit. I want all the glory. Hey, I'm a part of this big feminist movement. I want y'all to recognize me, and I want to be this and that." That's not what she did. She gave all the glory to God. She gave all the praise to God. And she sang a wonderful song. When you open your Bible to Judges chapter 5, you'll read the beautiful song of Deborah. And she lifts up her voice in song, and she praises the Lord. Mother, I want to ask you a question. Do you sing for Jesus? Do you sing songs about your love for Christ? Do you sing, "I know that I've been saved"? Do you sing victory in Jesus? Do you sing, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee"? Do you sing, "His eye is on the sparrow"? Hallelujah to God. Mothers, do you sing for Jesus? Deborah wasn't afraid to sing about her beliefs. She wasn't afraid to sing about her faith. She wasn't intimidated to sing about her experiences of victory with God. She will not be remembered as a prophetess as much as she will be as a mother. She said, "I arose a mother in Israel." Mother, rise up. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be saved. Come out from the world, thou mother, and be the one God's called you to be. Maybe you've slipped aside from your foundational purpose of life. Maybe the honors and false pretenses of the world has gotten your attention through subliminal messages, and then sidetracked you from your calling in this life. Let's get back to where we're supposed to be. Let's get up. Let's rise up. I'm getting up with you. Come on, mama, get up with me. Let's do this thing for the Lord Jesus Christ. The rapture can take place at any blinking moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the last trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds in the air. I want you to know, Mother, God has a purpose for your life. God loves you, Mother. The world does not know how to love you, but God knows how to love you. Let Him be the Lord of your life today. How else can I say? Rise up. How else can I say? Rise up. If there's things that's taking your time that are non-essentials, this coronavirus, if it has taught us anything, it's what's important, what really is important. And that's that person, that child that you're holding. Sister Sue, that's that grandbaby that you have today. Praise the Lord. That's what's important. Be thou an example unto the believer. Maybe you're not a mother today. Well, you can purpose in your heart today, "Lord, if you let me be a mother, oh God, I dedicate my life to you. I consecrate my soul to thee, Lord Jesus. That if you'll just help me to be the mother that you want me to be, I give my life to you, Father. I rise up now." Maybe you've made made some mistakes, and we all have. Rise up! Don't lay there! Get up! Get going! And serve Jesus! Maybe you've got some regrets, and maybe, let's just be honest, you've just quite frankly failed, and you'll be the first in line to say, I identify with that. I'm not proud of it. I'm ashamed of it. But that's not the time for you to quit and throw in the towel. Rise up, mother! The way I see it, God ordained you, and the promises of heaven and the purposes of heaven, and that promise is without repentance. He has not changed his purpose for your life. Just because we fall and make mistakes, that's an opportunity for you to learn, amen. That's an opportunity for you to change, amen. That's an opportunity for you to lean closer to God and rely upon Him at all times. Brothers, are you going to rise up today? Do you love Jesus? Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to have a prayer with you, mothers. This will be our last drive-in service. Now, we want to have some more open-air services throughout our time here as pastor. And I want the church to be supportive of that. We enjoy our open-air services. I'd like to have maybe some open-air revivals and things of that nature. We certainly need to have a watermelon Sunday and a homemade ice cream Sunday and all kinds of special days we got planned to keep things fun and interesting. But this is a special day to will to be remembered. Mother, this is for you. Thank you. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you are. And thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. Let's stick our hands outside of the windows. Lift it up to the bright blue sky. Come on. Roll your windows down. Some of you got to get your keys in there to turn it. Even if you're a man, child, put your hand out. Be a team player. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, Lord. We thank you for our church, LaRue Baptist Church. We're thankful for the preacher and for the Word of God. But Lord, today is about mothers. Yes, it's about Jesus. But what a special treasure, a gem in the ring with mothers that we have. Father, we thank you for the ladies, and we thank you for the care and the keeping and the watchfulness and the discipline, the prayers, the faithfulness and the hard work. Lord, when they get knocked down, they just get right back up. Lord, we're thankful for our mothers. Please watch over them today. Strengthen them today. Be real and precious and special to them today. May they go forth and live for the Lord. Rise up in the secret place and serve you in the open and sing about how you brought forth the victory in their lives. Lord, give them all a testimony today. Give them all a dose of goodness today. Lord, may they all drink in the rain of your riches today. Father, I pray you bless them and protect them in all their ways as they do their part in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all shout it out. Amen.